think that's what they're trying to get to.
Let's call to order the House Committee on Land Use for Thursday, March 5th, 2009.
Hello, friend.
Welcome, colleagues,
welcome.
Members of the public. We have one item on our agenda. It is House Bill 2230. Do we have anyone testified? Signed up to testify, Mr. White? Since we have someone signed up to testify, I'll open a public hearing on House Bill 2230. We have two people to testify.
There's three.
Okay.
Three?
That's it.
Joshua, there's three.
Looking at the list. Can we come forward?
I need... Sure. Okay.
Save a sign.
Four people to testify.
It was growing.
Mr. Whitman, could I actually ask you to wait? I'd like to have you back clean up, please. Sid Friedman and Rich Angstrom and Austin McGuigan. Mr. Friedman.
Chair Nolan, committee members, for the record, my name is Sid Friedman. Well, I'm a Valley advocate for 1,000 Friends of Oregon at our Willamette Valley office here in Salem. In our view, House Bill 2230 is essentially a solution looking for a problem. It's an apparent attempt to address a few isolated instances where issues of coordination and timing have arisen regarding local government and state agency decisions for the same project or application. And in a very few instances, this has led to the filing of separate appeals of both the local decision and the state agency decision, particularly with the land use compatibility statements. But we have seen nothing to indicate that there is either a widespread or serious problem that requires legislative action. And we have further concerns that because of its potential unintended consequences, this bill may well be a cure that's worse than the disease. For example, stating that generally the local land use decision would precede the state agency decision. While that may sound good on the surface, it could often place developers and applicants in a catch-22 situation, since many local land use decisions have criteria that are dependent on the state agency action. For example, adequacy of water may require a state agency decision from the Water Resources Department before that local criteria for adequacy of water could be satisfied. Or adequacy of the transportation facilities may require, which may be a local criteria often is, may require an ODOT approval of a traffic mitigation plan. So in some instances, applicants or developers may be left in a catch-22 situation where they can't get the state agency approval prior to the local land use decision, but they can't get the local land use decision prior to the state agency approval. So while having developers and applicants caught in a catch-22 situation may hold appeal for some of our members, our organization actually has a broader interest in seeing a smooth functioning land use planning system, and we're concerned that this bill may be a step backward from that goal. Other provisions in the bill narrow the definition of land use decisions, expand the circumstances in which state agencies can violate local plans and zoning regulations, and authorize LCDC to require local governments to issue land use decisions in some circumstances. And these other provisions all have their other problematic consequences, which I won't go into now because time is limited, but I'd be happy to detail them in response to questions if you have them. Thank you.
You. Any questions for Mr. Friedman? Mr. Angstrom?
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Rich Angstrom. I'm the president of the Oregon Concrete and Aggregate Producers Association. This is actually a fairly complicated bill for something that they're trying to correct that seems to be a fairly simple matter. And I was advised by one of the DLCD staff that it took him 10 times to read the thing in order to understand it. And I have to admit, I've only read it 4 times, and I think I'm starting to get a better handle on this particular bill. The two parts of the bill were supportive of. The first part is the main issue, and that's where they're trying to get these compatibility statements out of basically making them a land use decision. And to give you, and I think it's important because we talk a lot of times in abstract, and the reason I didn't testify earlier is I was actually trying to get my arms around how this applied practically. A practical example of that is in the wacky world of aggregate permitting, Dogami permits, when we get our Dogami permits for reclamation, the county first has to set the reclamation requirement for the activity. And that is, they tell us what the end use is going to be. And then we design it, get it through Dogami, and then that, in turn, is signed off on as a compatible, that the Dogami plan is compatible. That does not necessarily have to be another land use decision. The other side, though, is where then, and so we're comfortable with that concept. The other side of this, though, is where we were a little more concerned. And that is where you say, where the bill says generally, the county decision-making process should precede the state decision processes. In the case of Dogami, that makes sense. But for us, we have to get permits through Water Resources, DEQ, Fish and Wildlife, federal permits, and all the federal agencies. And some of those, the counties like to wait until after those permits are acquired before they issue their permit. A lot of times in aggregate, the counties actually second or take a fresh look at the same kinds of things that are the subject matter of the state agencies. A good example would be, let's say DEQ has an air quality standard, and we have to get an air contaminant discharge permit for one of our activities. The counties like to wait until that's issued because it makes their job easier. If their decision-making, and that's one of the main issues of that may be one of the main contentious issues in an aggregate siting application, they may want the state government to go first, and then it makes their job easier because if we made the standard, then we're okay with them and they can sign off on it, and not in reverse. It puts them in kind of a funny position. So I asked the director and staff about that, and their response was, is that's why we put generally in there. The interesting part about the land use system is that a lot of us have now carved out special processes within the system to get us where we need to go, and we're all supportive of coordination. In fact, that's a major problem. We think that's very important that the department undertake that, but it's also the bill cannot disrupt some of those things because they've been very carefully thought out. And that's a good example of why, using the DEQ example, why you would not necessarily want local governments to make the decision first. If they did, then the compatibility standard actually may have to be a land use decision because they would be taking another look at it. So with that, I want to say this is actually a very complicated bill, and you really have to apply it to facts. And it's nothing like applying it to aggregate to understand, you know, the complexity of this particular bill. So we're supportive. The agency's assured us that it's not intended to disrupt the aggregate processes right now. And I think there's going to be probably a follow-up comment from the department on that. With that, I conclude my testimony.
Questions for Mr. Engstrom?
Good. Did you say you support it?
Yes.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Thank you. Mr. McGuigan.
Thank you. Again, Madam Chair, members of the committee, I testified on last Tuesday, and I'm not going to bore you with my testimony again, but I did bring written comments to memorialize my statements on behalf of the Association of Oregon County's Planning Directors. And again, we support this bill, and we think the bill could be further improved if it were to include language comparable to what is proposed for state agencies under Section 2, Sub 10, Sub C, II, clarifying that a determination by a local government that a proposed state agency action is allowed without review under its acknowledged comprehensive plan and implementing land use regulations is not a land use decision. And that concludes my testimony.
Thank you. And just to clarify, on Tuesday, Mr. McGuigan, you said you wouldn't oppose the bill as is, though.
Yeah, we support the bill. Okay. We believe that this is a benefit in improving efficiency at local government. So,
and should the committee and the House endorse the bill, you would have an opportunity in the Senate to improve it. Thanks. Any questions for Mr. McGuigan? Thank you, gentlemen. Mr. Whitman.
Chair Nolan, members of the committee, for the record, Richard Whitman, the director of the Department of Land Conservation and Development, here today to testify in support of House Bill 2230 and to answer any questions that the committee may have. So we had a couple of concerns raised in the testimony that you just heard that I'd like to comment on a little bit. First of all, let me address Mr. Angstrom's comments on behalf of OCAPA about Section 3 of the bill, and this is actually pertinent to some of the comments that were made by Mr. Friedman as well. The concern that was expressed by Mr. Angstrom was that the language on page 5 of the bill, on Section 3, Sub 3, page 5, starting at lines 12, this is language that would authorize, but not require, the commission to, by rule, require, in terms of the sequencing of state and local permitting decisions, that the local decision come first. That section was written very carefully so that it's permissive, because we knew that it was not appropriate for local government to go first in all instances. There are some instances, as you heard from Mr. Angstrom, now where state agencies go first, and that's fine. There's no intent to disrupt that, certainly with regard to the aggregate industry or the sequencing of permits in that situation. Turning to the issue more generally in terms of Mr. Friedman's comments, again, there is no blanket solution to who should go first. What is envisioned here, just to go on the record and be clear about this, is that the commission would go through category by category for major areas of state permits and have a discussion with stakeholders, other agencies, and local governments about what makes sense in terms of who should go first, and then act accordingly to clarify that by rule. So this is not intended to disrupt systems that are in place now. It is intended to provide efficiency and clarity in our permitting system in terms of who goes first. Mr. Friedman also commented that Section 2 of the bill, which is the portion of the bill that specifies that a decision of a local government to issue a land use compatibility statement after it has already issued a land use permit for a use is not a land use decision, if it's already made a land use decision, is concerned that that's narrowing the definition of what is a land use decision. Well, technically, he's correct. It is. That's part of the purpose, as I explained in my testimony on Tuesday, is to make sure that there are not two possible appeals one appeal of a local land use decision approving a use, and then a second appeal of a local government decision to say, yes, we meant it the first time. It really is approved. It really is compatible with our local land use plan. So I'm somewhat of a loss to see how this interferes with the opportunity of citizens to participate in local land use decisions. It does not. It simply provides efficiencies and clarity and streamlining for our system. Does it solve all the problems? No. As I said on Tuesday, we're still going to have fights about some of these things. We can't avoid all of that, but I think it's a significant improvement in our system. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Whitman? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
That completes the witness registration that we have. Am I right, Mr. White? Thank you. So I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 2230 and open a work session on House Bill 2230. Comments, issues, questions among the committee members? Representative Hanna.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I asked a question the other day when we heard this bill about the term regularly. It's interesting that we're passing a piece of legislation that says we'll regularly update something, but there's no definition to that, and I find that a bit unnerving, I suppose, that we're trying to do something which would, as we've heard testimony, potentially or is stated to be something as good, but we don't measure the time period under which we would update that. Secondly, I continue to be concerned that we're in land use, from what I understand, and this is a difficult piece, and I'm glad there are professionals out there who have read it multiple times and find the language as confusing as I do, but I think we continue to work on issues like this. It seems to have its most of its impact is agency to agency or government to government when we continue to have a long queue of folks waiting to deal with their 37 and 49 claims. And I don't see this focusing attention or effort on dealing with that. And I tend to agree, let's do no more harm, and I just don't see this thing solving anything.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Hanna. Representative Garrett.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2230 to the floor with the due pass recommendation and that the subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means be rescinded, and I understand that the Speaker has approved the rescission of that referral.
Ms. Ross?
Madam Chair, members, that's correct.
Okay. Committee members, Representative Garrett moves House Bill 2230 to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the subsequent referral to Ways and Means be rescinded. Looks like there's discussion on that motion. Representative Hanna, and then I'll get to Representative Meeker.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Could you make the committee bring us up to speed on the rescission of the referral?
Ms. Ross?
Members of the committee, Madam Chair, Representative Hanna, fiscal came back with a minimum expenditure impact, so it was inappropriate for a subsequent referral. So we sought approval from the Speaker to rescind that subsequent referral, and he gave that approval to allow the motion to be heard today.
Follow up?
Sir?
Could you define the minimal nature?
I can't, no. I don't know the definition of a minimal expenditure.
The Legislative Fiscal Office and the agency have looked at the cost of the bill and determined that it is essentially so minimum that they can't put a value on it. But that's a term of art, as you'll recall, that says that it is below the threshold for referrals to Ways and Means.
Follow up to that?
Sure.
So we don't have a number. We don't know what it is.
We don't have a number.
Thank you.
Representative Winger.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to be a no vote, and I want to articulate and explain why.
We've been meeting as a land use committee now for a couple of months, and what I heard from the Big Look Task Force was that Oregon's land use laws needed to create more fairness, and we needed to simplify the process. Also, I think we're all well aware of promises that were made related to the so-called fast track to measure 49 and 37 claimants. And as far as I know, we haven't done much work on either of those really pressing issues. What we're going to do today is help to improve the land use decision-making process for state agencies, which I think is probably our highest priority, if I can be facetious, and why we would put them first and try to make life easier for state agencies when people around the state are begging us to do the same thing for them, I don't know. We have managed on this committee so far to put a business under, and now it looks like we're actually going to make these statutes longer, because my count at looking at the bill is we're actually adding a lot more words and verbiage to this statute than we are taking anything away. So at this point, I'm not convinced we've done much productive work on this committee, and with that, I will be voting no.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Mr. Hoyt, would you let know? Would you let Representative Clem know that we're about to take a vote?
Madam Chair?
Yes, Representative Cowan.
Thank you. While we're waiting for Representative Clem, maybe I will make a comment. Because I will be supporting this bill, and I differ with what I've heard. I think we truly are trying to simplify a process that doesn't have any one specific methodology. Coming as I have from the county world, I think that there are very different kinds of land use decisions that we face, some of which really do need to be addressed locally before they move on to the state level, others of which require state level decisions before local governments can make those decisions. And to me, the basic premise of this bill is to clarify that there is just one land use decision made in that process, wherever along the way it is made, and that subsequent permitting or other decisions are not a separate and appealable land use decision. I think that's very good government. It is actually very helpful in moving the process through wherever is the most appropriate level to begin or end. Thank you.
Okay. Any other discussion? Call the roll, please.
Representative
Clem. Aye.
Representative
Cowan. Aye. Representative Hanna. No. Representative Winger. No. Vice Chair Garrett.
Aye.
Vice Chair
Escobar.
No.
Chair
Nolan.
A little bit of explanation before I vote. This committee does not have in its possession yet a bill relating to Measure 37 or Measure 49 claims. And I personally don't think it's appropriate for us to wait until we have those bills and leave other business unattended to. You have heard me.
Chair, I'm sorry. I'm just procedurally, I know you're the chair. I'm just, how does this work in terms of vote explanations before the vote? Do it. Okay, thank you. Sorry.
She's the chair.
I know.
We've made a commitment in this committee to hear those issues. And we will. We have no mechanism for doing it yet. So we will move to that. The bill's been identified as having a minimal fiscal, but that's in terms of the cost to state agencies. We've heard several people testify Tuesday and today that they support the bill because it streamlines private interests processes through the system. We don't measure those things, but it's a good thing. In fact, this is the first installment of actually addressing some of what the Big Look Task Force has suggested be done, which is to streamline the process. So it's apparent that we look at this bill differently. For the reasons I've just described, I'm voting yes. And the motion carries. I'd like a carrier. I'll carry it. Representative Clem.
When you question the chair in the middle of her speech, you figure you get the bill right after that. I'm sorry about that.
Madam Chair, if my summation was correct, I would be willing to carry it.
Your summation was right on.
Okay.
Representative Cowan will carry the bill. So we've already acknowledged that. No further business in this work session, so we'll close the work session, adjourn, and because we do not yet have other bills before us, we will not have a meeting on Tuesday. We're still waiting.